Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. It's the deadliest civilian mass shooting in U.S. history. Orlando, Florida has a new identity, and it's one written in tears. Here to talk about that event and its repercussions is Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine. Lincoln, social media is all over the board on this one. What's your take on guns, gays, and the role the government should play in all of this?
I didn't know you'd start with the guns. Well, you know, I'm from Australia. I didn't grow up with guns. I feel sort of nervous that there are so many guns in our society.
Yes.
And yet, I also studied the U.S. Constitution, and I want to say clearly, this is partly a result of easy guns and a culture of guns and a culture, therefore, of violence. We could decry that. But if you're talking the constitutional right to guns, it should not be taken away. In fact, I think a great injustice is done to the Constitution in making a debate over whether people should have assault rifles or not. In my view, the founders and those that wrote the Constitution, they had in mind allowing citizens access to weapons that would enable them to overthrow an oppressive government. So the weaponry has to be sufficient to overthrow a government. It's not for hunting or for protection against robbers, all of which were concerns then and now. But if you're talking the Constitution, citizens should have access to rocket launchers, missiles, anti-tank guns, tanks. Now, obviously not private individuals, but in the time of the formation of the U.S. Republic, people did have access to sort of common weapons that were usually held in the town armory or whatever.
Right.
And the National Guard hasn't really adequately replaced that.
Now, you said not individuals themselves. What do you mean by that?
Well, they didn't always keep them in their homes. People forget that it was a big thing to buy a gun back then. I've seen wills where that was about the main thing passed on to the son. That was a capital expenditure for someone to have a gun. If they're on the frontier, they probably would have it.
Yeah.
But not everybody else. But it was a culture that was used to it for defense and for hunting. But the idea was that there would be an armory or a stockpile of weaponry for the town. And the towns were more sort of like New Hampshire and so on, where it's sort of town governance.
Right.
But that local citizen group could get whatever weapons they needed to counter an oppressive government.
To counter an oppressive government. In other words, was the government giving the people of the country an okay to come after them if they didn't like what the government was doing to them?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Thomas Jefferson says that directly. And he says it in a very troubling way. He says that the Tree of Liberty needs a revolution from time to time. It has to be watered by the blood of revolution.
And we have to remember that the framers of the Constitution and the young America had come from a society where they sure wished they had guns to overthrow the government that was suppressing them. Am I right?
Yes. I mean, I hope our listeners don't get me wrong. I am not for guns. I think it's incredibly deleterious to our society. But when you're talking the Constitution, you really need to know what they were on about. And it was the ability of the people to, by force if necessary, that's why they were to have access to guns, by force if necessary, actually overthrow the government.
So when Omar went storming into that place in Orlando, into the Pulse in Orlando, he had not broken any laws by carrying that gun at that moment.
Right. So on that level, there's not a gun illegality here, but there's another reminder for this society that it's all gone wrong. What's dangerous on this front is that it will undercut the Second Amendment, if not the intent. Well, it will undercut the intention, but most people don't see the intention anymore. But it will result in a disarmed populace. And at least from the constitutional point of view, that they feared.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Orlando. What's your feelings on this?
In this country, there are millions of guns made and distributed and stored and owned and out and around. Even if gun sales were terminated immediately, that wouldn't solve the problem we have. So you need to get that out of the way. The real issue here, I believe, is an attitude which can tend to violence against gays or any minority. Violence has been used against religious groups, against racial groups that were disliked by another race. as well as, of course, just plain rioting and lawlessness and crime. So there's a point here. There's also a big point that I think is being forgotten in the discussion already, that this is yet another example of a radically inspired Muslim sensibility.
So we have two issues here. One is attitude, and one is radically inspired Muslim. So we're not talking about a gun issue. We're talking about an attitude and a religious liberty issue here.
Right. I mean, it is a gun issue because it feeds into the ongoing discussion. But like I say, the ongoing discussion is already very misleading and dangerous to the Constitution.
All right.
That is separate to itself. Obviously, there's violence here. But what I've seen already, and it's troubling, as we've had these terrorist incidents, which are clearly religiously, more than religiously motivated. This, I mean, the guy called during the incident and professed his loyalty to ISIS. Well, you know, some sites are trying to pass him off as a little unhinged and not in possession of his senses. I could say that. That's sort of true. You say that about a cultic person. You say that about those who are following Sharon Tate and the others,
yes,
Manson's followers. Yeah. Of course they weren't in full possession of their senses. They were addled. But they were people that were calculatedly doing things. This guy, what fueled his aberrant thinking was his enduring Islamic fanaticism. I've been reading fuller stories on it, and even when he was in a halfway house for troubled youth on 9/11, he was cited there for getting all excited and yelling and cheering and yelling at the others that he was all for Osama bin Laden. He said he was even related to Osama bin Laden, and this was the greatest thing going. If nothing else, this sort of indicates Donald Trump's memories. No, I'm being facetious.
Yes.
But there were and are people that were happy at that event, and he's one of them. So you can't distance this from a hardcore jihadist view of Islam.
Well, Lincoln, I saw one post that said the problem in the nightclub that night was not that there was a man with a gun. There were 200 people without guns. Would that be the answer?
No. I mean, people say that, but, you know, they want a furious shoot 'em all. The Russians have been very vigorous in moving in quickly on hostage situations, which this was not. But, you know, they're the same deal with a lot of people around guns and gunfire. And when they've gone in, as many people have been killed by the gun-toting rescuers.
Yes.
Whether someone's inhibited by starting something and thinking that someone there might have a gun, you could argue that a bit. But this is bigger than that. I don't think this sort of a person would hesitate greatly if he thought there were guns around. He would just perhaps approach it differently. But he was determined to kill these people. He was not that concerned about surviving.
Yeah.
He was making a statement.
I was thinking about that. These people, the suicide bombers, these people that go in and just do all this stuff, knowing they'll probably be killed. Of course, they believe that there's something really good waiting for them on the other side if they die. Am I right?
As do Christians. We should keep that in mind. Very few Christians outside of crazy types during the Crusades act suicidally.
Yes.
The Catholic Church during the medieval times did try to hold out the great reward. If they died, they went straight to heaven and all the rest. But you know, that's an aberrant element and a very isolated time. But the Quran is quite specific, as some of the hadith, in expounding on the great reward that immediately comes to a jihadi. That's the best way to die, the best reward in heaven. So, yes, someone who's a little unhinged or fanatical responds to that pretty easily. And it's no question that's what's going on here. And, of course, if he's a little bit mentally unhinged, he's more attracted by it. But that doesn't let this religious viewpoint off the hook. And as has already been said on this disaster, we could wish for a stronger and more theological rebuke from the Islamic community.
If you were holding an evangelistic meeting, Lincoln Steed, and you're a pastor as well as an editor, if you were holding an evangelistic meeting
And in walks a dozen people from ISIS, and they sit in the front row, and you have an opportunity to say something to these people, to ISIS people who are sitting in the front row, that can maybe alter their thoughts away from what they want to do to what they should be doing, what God wants them to do. What would you say?
Well, it's going to be hard because they likely would come in with an intention.
Well, yes, but let's say that these guys were just sitting quietly waiting for their ammunition to show up.
I don't have the answer, but I believe the best approach with Islam is, first of all, you have to make it clear that you don't buy into their viewpoint. Like trying to tell them that we worship the same God or is comforting ourselves that they believe in Jesus isn't going to get you anywhere. You have to present the Christian faith as a faith of hope, of love, and a faith that's focused on Jesus, the Son of God, not just a prophet.
So that may get you killed, but the good news is that that reward that God talks about in the Bible will be waiting for you when you die, right?
Right, but the reward should be here and now with love and fulfillment in this life toward other people.
There we go.
And those that don't share that, you've got a jihadist obligation to convert them and to treat them kindly, not to cut off their heads, which even the most radical Muslim knows, cutting off someone's head doesn't send them to heaven. You've sealed their bad relationship. But wouldn't it be much better if you have love to fellow man to reach out to them, to bring them into the same good relationship that you have and hope for with God, and then an eternal kingdom of living with him in heaven?
So you're saying that the reward the Christian can look forward to begins now in this life?
Of course, it has to. It's not the sole reward. And Paul said, if Christ isn't raised from the dead, we're miserable. Mm-hmm. But of course it starts here. Jesus said, anyone that accepts me now has life eternal. You have it now.
Oh, that is a beautiful message for this program today. Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, you have given us our marching orders here for the new army of Christ, and that is, let's go out and let's share Jesus with people, because the good life, the rewards, the happiness, the joy, the contentment begins today. That's exciting, Lincoln Steed.
Absolutely. It's not to be found in a nightclub, not to be found even in that radical form of Islam, certainly, but it can be found in knowing Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. www.libertymagazine.org is the website. If you'd like to learn more about the magazine, about our editor, Lincoln Steed, also about these programs, you can listen to them here on that website as well. And you can read the articles that are there. Liberty Magazine is just filled with articles, just like the one you just heard, that discussion between Lincoln and myself. These are the types of things that are covered in Liberty Magazine. So we invite you to that website to become part of our Liberty Magazine family. That's libertymagazine.org. Lincoln Steed, editor, thank you so much for being with us today. You've given me encouragement. I know you've given our audience encouragement. Thank you, Lincoln.
My pleasure.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651. Or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.